You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, hour number two of CBD. By the way, Wilhelm, this is a noteworthy show. My guy on Twitter, at the Victor Price, said, Nathan's girl, I've never agreed with you for a complete Browns Daily until today. Try not to crush my dream for the last 53 minutes. So I'm going to rely on you a lot for the final 53, Wilhelm. We want to try to keep this fine going here today with me and VP. Over
it's good.
There. All right. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Andrew in Columbus. Andrew.
Hey, how are you doing today?
How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually kind of thinking that trading for Kaepernick might not be the worst idea. Might give us more options with the number two pick. Give up maybe a third and a fifth round pick, and then we're in a position where we're not forced to fall in love with one of those top two quarterbacks. Because it was always an option that we made. It may be possible to take a Connor Cook at 32, look at something like that. If we're going to be developing Goff or Wentz anyways, and we believe in Hugh so much, don't really think there's going to be too much of a difference in maybe trading down from two a little bit to acquire more picks later on, and then picking Cook at 32 and letting Hugh develop Cook while we get Kaepernick the next couple of years, see how he does.
So it just is a matter of, does he fit, right? That's
yes.
The question.
Yes.
Does he fit?
Everything points to it not fitting. Who he is, what his body of work is, and what Hugh Jackson has gotten the best out of the quarterbacks that he has worked with personally.
Yeah.
That in itself. Now, and I'm not saying that Hugh Jackson has to be a miracle worker. Colin Kaepernick is an NFL quarterback. You know, one team saw enough in him to almost give him $100 million or a contract up to, you know, being worth about $100 million. That was San Francisco, what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago now. A lot has changed. I think the type of play that he plays, the type of player that he is no longer winnable on a week-in, week-out basis in the National Football League. That zone read, again, the run that we've seen multiple times today on social media and on the television with, you know, against the Green Bay Packers, that hasn't happened, again, really by anybody.
No.
Johnny, maybe gone one time for 20 yards in a football game, right?
Right. It's not the basis of an offense anymore.
Not the basis of an offense, and it can't be. And I think it goes back to our conversation about, you know, Wentz or Goff, and what do you want? You get the bigger, stronger arm, the better athlete in Wentz, but he's more of a project. Or you get the pocket passing, quick decisions, you know, with the above-average arm of Jared Goff, and now you're throwing a wild card into this whole thing. You know, a guy who's played well, but in a confined offense. And I wouldn't imagine if this is truly a rebuild and a fresh start with Hugh Jackson, I wouldn't, or if I were a free agent, I wouldn't want to come play in a confined offense or have to confine my offense or my vision, as we heard Hugh Jackson talk about, is wanting to be the play caller. Why would you want to do that with handcuffs?
Right, it does. He's got a narrow skill set, and you can only go into a certain amount of your playbook with a guy like that.
Absolutely. And in some cases, you got to do what Kyle Shanahan did with Johnny for those last couple games. You're going to create wrinkles, you know, for Colin Kaepernick to use what he does as a strength, but it's only a strength so long before a defense figures it out, and then it's scrapped.
Here's the only way that it could make sense to me is that Hugh Jackson believes he can get the best out of his physical gifts. And so he would say, all right, give me the guy that's got all the traits in the world, can throw it through the wall, can run, big, athletic. Give me the guy with all the traits in the world. At the same time, give me the pocket passer, whatever. Give me both of those guys,
them,
and we'll develop them
unison
together, and we'll see who ends up being at the top. Between the two of them, Mr. Traits and Mr. kind of, I would call, more polish, we're going to find our quarterback of the future. That's the only way that it makes sense to me.
But, and again, to go back to our caller, you know, what did he say? You know, give up a third and a fifth. That means the San Francisco 49ers have to be okay with giving up a third and a fifth.
Or taking a third and a fifth.
That's what I mean. We can offer whatever we want to offer.
Sure.
Someone else has to accept it.
Sure.
Because, again, he was a guy they paid a significant amount of money to. And at this point right now, he is their starting quarterback after he's been shopped and no longer available on that market.
Yes, indeed. That's not fair. Good thing we're not periscoping right now. It'll be our secret. It's just, again,
a lot of action going on
here. A lot of action here in Berea today. I don't see the fit, but in my mind, I'll trust Hugh. In Hugh, we trust. It's the Hugh World Order. If that's the direction he wants to go, fine. I think it's going to end up with him going to Denver. The latest update, by the way, from Mike Silver says Denver is the heavy favorite to land.
They are the heavy favorite. Yes. Okay, and I guess I'll ask you this question, and I kind of know the answer. In this regard, how much weight do you feel has been put on Hugh Jackson to make this decision or Sashi Brown and his team of people to make this decision?
I think it's in conjunction, but I would imagine I know
it's in conjunction
with quarterbacks that Hugh Jackson will have plenty of say in that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would
say. And ultimately, it's Sashi's decision to pull the trigger on it or not.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. All right. Who are we up to on the phone lines here, Gibbs? Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
All right. Hey, you know what? I'm feeling positive right now, and I know it's probably crazy, but just hear me out, all right? So
we're not that show to cut you off, so go ahead, bud.
The position we're in right now is because of not having continuity, okay? The difference is we got the coach the best available this time around. So I trust Harvard and Hugh, and I think that, you know, I know we lost some of our starters, but I think we're going to have to just build through the draft, you know?
I agree, and it's cliche, and it's trite, and as I said earlier, build through the draft, but you got to hit in the draft.
Yes.
Got to hit. Got to have success.
And I really think, and I kind of listened to this, you know, on my way in, listening to multiple shows so I could get, you know, different perspectives. The same way that Mitchell Schwartz was this disgruntled guy that we needed to run out of town, you know, that no longer deserved to play opposite Joe Thomas at right tackle, and he was a liability along that offensive line, you know, for the past 4 years, is now the second highest paid tackle in all of football right now, okay? So when we draft a guy, and you look at Olivier Vernon, where was he drafted, Nathan? Third round,
yeah,
right?
Middle rounds, but you hit on him.
But you hit in those middle rounds, you develop them, and unfortunately, you know, Miami couldn't keep him, right? But with the standing of the Cleveland Browns, and you hope a guy like him developing in our system, you throw enough money at him to keep him here, there's winning along right with it. But my whole point is, who we take in the first round or these developmental players that we draft can come in and be successful because it's happening other places. Tashaun Gibson was an undrafted free agent, and he just got $35.5 million, 12 over 2, but an undrafted free agent, okay, sought out by scouts on our that made up the Cleveland Browns, you know, regime at the time, played good football here in Cleveland and just got paid somewhere else. So it can happen again, and it happens all across the league. So it's
Absolutely.
Not like we have to, you know, we're tanking, you know, for number one. That's not the case.
No, that is not the case, but they're trying to rebuild it what I would call the right way. Remember, when you look at a team like the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson was in the third round. When you look at their
Sherman
draft,
in the fifth round.
Sherman in the fifth round.
Bobby Wagner.
Hitting those kind of drafts, that's what allowed the Seattle Seahawks to become a good team and become a good team quickly. You go back and you look at it from there, you get, as we said, Richard Sherman was in the fifth. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Bobby Wagner was a second-round pick. Jeremy Lane, the defensive
Chancellor.
Back.
Where did Cam Chancellor get drafted?
I'm looking at it right now. Jeremy Lane, who they just signed today to an extension, sixth round and is a starting DB from them. Sherman was in the fifth. Byron Maxwell, who played well for them and went up, sixth round. K.J. Wright was in the fourth round. So that's why they were able to become so good so quickly. Earl Thomas was a first-round pick. Cam Chancellor was a fifth-round pick.
Irvin was a first-round pick, but now he's obviously off to Oakland.
When you can hit in those and pick those guys, but also be solid at the top of the draft, that's when you can get pretty good. Oh, and have the quarterback. That's what they need to do. All right. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850 on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Little Vance Joy bringing us back.
Let me listen. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I like it. don't know Riptide? You ever heard this?
I've heard it.
Oh, they opened last summer for Taylor Swift. I saw.
He.
Yes. Well, it's like a whole band.
I saw him at the House of Blues.
My new favorite song is Cake in the Ocean.
Do you like that?
I like that song.
It's a good song.
I like that song.
Dance?
My kids love singing it.
Dance?
Yes.
That's one of the Jonas Brothers.
Cake of the Ocean?
Cake in the Ocean.
That's the name of the song or the band?
Cake by the Ocean. You're right. Cake by the Ocean.
Yeah. It's not that new, but it's new.
It's newer.
Yeah.
And Stressed Out.
All right, so wait.
Stressed Out's good.
Is the name of the band?
The name of the band is DNCE.
Got it.
It's a Joe bro. You'll know it if you've heard it. All right, we're going back to the phone lines right now. Vance Joy, though, we're seeking out. Mess Is Mine, Straight Into Your Heart, Fire in the Flood. He's got a strong catalog, my friends. Strong catalog. Let's go to Ross in Kirtland. Ross.
Try him now.
Ross.
Ross, you there?
I hear something, Gibbs.
Glad you do.
Ross. Good conversation.
Good.
All right.
Good work.
Good
work.
Take. We like golf too.
Troy in Zane. We. Yes. Wilhelm. Let's try Troy. There is this Troy.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Troy, how are you?
Hey, pretty good, man. Good. I just got a couple of things here. Yes, on Kaepernick. If Hugh Jackson could believe he could turn him around, I'm all for it. And plus, too, Cameron Irving, if he could just bulk up his upper body strength and play center, I'm all for that. I mean, that's his natural position. But don't put him against Haloti Ngata or even Danny Shelton because he's going to get bull rushed. But if you come back and get Kaepernick and you draft Joey Bosa, then possibly come back in the second round and get Tyvis Powell, that's a successful draft.
Yeah, and you know what? Just to talk on Cam Irving really quickly is – you don't look at Alex Mack as this like physical force there in the middle. What's great about Alex Mack and what we hope Cam Irving can become is they're smart. They can make the line calls, take that pressure off of, you know, whatever quarterback happens to be playing to get them blocked up on the front in the best way, shape and form, the way they've been coached to do. And a lot of what a center needs to be in today's NFL is just body position and an athlete. You know, yep. Because so much of what they do in a zone scheme, it's reaching, you know, getting a body on a body. And in some cases, you're a part of a double team, you know, with your guard. And in some cases, you know, I wouldn't hate seeing Cam Irving go against Danny Shelton because I think the athlete in Cam Irving would out athlete Danny Shelton as the big 350-pound nose tackle, which we didn't really get to see a lot of last year.
So, I agreed, and I've done some research on this because I was very concerned when we heard about the link to Wisniewski, and I was very concerned about that. So, I went and I've talked to some people here in the building on the staff of the Browns.
Well, look at you.
And this is what I was told because I kind of just put it out there. I was a little bit nervous, wanted to see what the deal was. They believe that Cam can play multiple positions, and they're very confident with his ability at center and right tackle. And so I think what they're looking at is can they find – what replacement guy can they find in free agency that either comes into play center or right tackle, and then they will give Cam a position to play after that.
And so give him all the reps at that position.
That's what it sounded like goal. Like they is where we were talking doom and gloom. The feeling here is not in any way, shape, or form doom and gloom
right.
About Cam.
And you have to love the versatility about him.
Sure.
But I think for him to truly progress as a young player, get a spot, own that spot, develop the skills associated specifically with that spot on the offensive line, playing next to the players that he would start next to and flourish next to on the offensive line as well.
Sure. Let's go to Mike in Youngstown. Mike.
Mike, you there?
How you doing, man?
Guys?
Hey, a couple things. One, I agree with you guys 100%. I try to write a couple notes to keep track of what I talk about. Our offensive line, with Joe Thomas, Joel Bentonio coming back healthy, Cam at center, which, you know, he's going to receive help, double-team help, chip helps, and John Greco, and the kid that got picked up last year, he played guard.
Austin Pastore.
Yeah, tough kid. You know, I mean, it's not gloom and doom. What we need to do as Cleveland Browns fans, we need to kick the dog and move on from the past. We finally got what seems to be a good coaching staff. Hey, you guys projected the whole time that you really didn't think they were going to sign anybody. Everybody hated Schwartz. Then they're all mad because he left.
Can I just interrupt for one second? That is one thing that I want to thank you for bringing up. I thought one of the most interesting things that I did on the radio, and Gibbs, you know this. I used to have to defend Mitchell Schwartz to people. People would call, Mitchell Schwartz was the problem. Do you remember that? People would call him and be like, hey, we need a new right tackle. He's terrible. He's horrible. And I'd have to go through my stats and try to say, no, he's good. And now all of a sudden, everybody's mad that he's gone. Again, of all the things that happened yesterday, I, Nathan Zagura, would have wanted to have kept Mitchell Schwartz knowing the price that he was paid. Travis Benjamin, I would have been close there. Alex Mack, at his age, given what we're doing, no thank you to make him the highest paid center in the NFL. And to Sean Gibson, you know, that's fine.
And I really think, though, when it comes to Alex Mack, had we gone 7-9 in 14, which we did, 6-10, you know, maybe, you know, lost a game or two that we should have won, potentially 8-8, 7-9, 6-10. I think you get Alex Mack back, first and foremost, and I think you might even get a slight hometown discount because of what's happening with Hugh Jackson, the mention of drafting, you know, Jared Goff number two. Then you wouldn't have the number two overall selection, so that might change things a little bit. But I think you get Alex Mack back at, you know, at 8, 8.5, maybe, you know, maybe he stays in his current deal, which was at 8. You know, but he just needed more success and proven success and a little bit more stability here instead of truly feeling like he's latching on to a full-on rebuild.
Yeah, and again, I don't blame him. And I think when you're his age and as good as he is, you see that you want to move on. And for the Browns, it doesn't make sense as well. So I think it will be very, very interesting. Paul in Elyria, welcome.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just to piggyback on what the previous caller just said, you know, everybody was making this big deal about Schwartz when you take a look at people like Pastor that came in last year. The dude played like an animal, you know. The other thing is we need somebody in the back there to help Hayden out, get some training, get the defense going. Hugh Jackson's a very smart individual that, you know, he builds an offense around his players, and he builds it around their good qualities, not their bad. So
correct.
I don't see them really having a bad season. Quarterback, yeah, we do definitely need a quarterback. But to run Hugh Jackson's offense, you know, we can wait in the draft, take the best player available, and in 32, take a quarterback like Cook.
I'm not a huge Connor Cook fan, but that could be, again, that could easily be the plan. Remember that the Raiders got Derek Carr there in the second round. All right. Let's go to Aaron in Sterling. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike in San Diego. Mike, and then we'll get to you, Aaron. Mike in San Diego.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are
good,
you?
Good, man.
Good, good. Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I live in San Diego, and I happen to be listening to the Chargers hour yesterday, and Travis Benjamin called in, and they were talking to him, and they asked him why San Diego, and a few other questions. But the most interesting part of the interview came when he said he wanted to stay in Cleveland, but the Browns didn't come after him very hard.
Again, I think as with free agency, it's always about the valuation of the player and of the team of that player. And I don't speak for that valuation. I like Travis Benjamin. I thought, as I've said before, I wish him nothing but the best, and he was one of my favorite guys on the team last year. I thought he and big play Gare, the Killer Bees, were probably the best part about the Browns' season last year, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. So it just is an intersection of value, and apparently they didn't come to an agreement on that value with Travis Benjamin, and that's what happened there. I would have liked to – if I ranked him, when I ranked him, I ranked him Schwartz 1, Benjamin 2 in terms of the guys that I would want to keep, and then Mack and Gibson, to me, were just a little bit further down the line. So it's tough. It's unfortunate, but I think Travis is going to San Diego. Now, it's going to be interesting. I don't know that he fits the mold of their vertical threats of years past, given that Phillip Rivers usually likes to have big guys on the outside and throws the ball, but we'll see. And I wish him nothing but the best. Fine, fine man, Travis Benjamin. Great guy, great in the locker room, a good player, good returner. And he was a guy who, and this is what you got to love about Travis Benjamin, right? After last year, he had a rough year as a punt returner. Not that 2015, after the 2014 season. Travis Benjamin had a rough year as a punt returner, and you didn't know what his deal was going to be. In 2014, he didn't catch half his targets. This is a guy who never had produced 315 yards receiving or 4 touchdowns receiving in a season prior to last year. He blew it all out of the water. In fact, he had more receiving yards last year than in his first 3 in the league combined. He had as many touchdowns last year as he had in his first 3 years in the league combined. So this is a guy who came in with an opportunity and absolutely made the most of it. And I applaud Travis Benjamin for getting what he could get out there in free agency.
Absolutely, and you got to figure Mitchell Schwartz had his best year as a Cleveland Brown in his contract year as well. Yeah. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you can do. Aaron and Sterling, before we take a break. Aaron.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. I just wanted to have your intake on what if at number 2 we had Goff, number 32 we had Josh Doctson from TCU, and if possible at our 3rd-round pick, we had the center from Alabama, and then that way we could put Austin Pastier at right tackle.
I want to see what we have in Cameron, but let me just say this. Goff Dotson right there, give me sunglasses inside. I'm blind. I'm very excited about the prospects about the prospects of those two guys being our first 2 picks. I think I want to see what happens. I think we could find a center later on. A guy that would intrigue me there, pick 65 for us, is whoever they consider to be the best inside linebacker at that point. I think that's a big area of need. Willie Henry out of Michigan, represented by Agent to the Stars. Andrew Sims, I think, is a great defensive line prospect out of from the blue. So I think there are going to be a lot of good opportunities there at 65. I don't think we need a center there. Maybe that's where you look for a young right tackle if you wanted to go about it that way. If you're going with Cam at center and you've got Austin Pastore, maybe that's where you get a right tackle. But I do think an offensive lineman certainly is a possibility there. Maybe it's a guard. We'll see. But I think that there are a lot of opportunities. But if you come out of that draft with the Goff-Dotson tandem, I'm going to be very excited. Would you be excited, Wilhelm? Would that be a win?
Yeah, I would. To link your quarterback to a playmaker and the perspective that you get Josh Gordon back as well, I like that. I like Goff and a playmaker that you take in the first 2 rounds linked together for 4 years.
Yes.
Regardless of size, speed, whatever, it's that bond between 2 guys in the orange and brown is what I'm after.
Yes, I like it. All right, we'll take a break. More CBD right after this. Call us, 216-578-0850.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
This is a jam. I like this. My kids like
this
it.
This is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
Waste time with the masterpiece, to waste time with the masterpiece. Got a good beat, it's got a catchy hook. You should be rolling with me, you should be rolling with me. You're a real life fantasy, you're a real life fantasy. But you're moving so carefully, let's start living dangerously. Talk to me, baby. I'm rolling up for this, sweet, sweet baby.
There it is. Take by the ocean. 216-578-0850. By the way, for those keeping track at home, the KD watch is at 27 minutes and counting.
Nope, it is not counting anymore.
Nope. It has ended at 27 on the dot. Oh, God. If you had 27, you
made
it.
I love having glass, like a glass office.
You made a lot of money. A lot
we
of
really
money.
Need to start cashing in on these opportunities.
We do. What's the over what, under?
KD watch is becoming a bigger thing right here in Berea than it is in Oklahoma City right now.
Well, actually, KD watch is more popular than the Browns in free agency.
Certainly.
Could be sponsored by Quilton Northern.
More Charmin Ultra. How dare
okay,
you?
Okay, either way.
How dare you? Come on. Carlos right. In Cleveland, welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good. I wanted to see what y'all thoughts was on this proposed trade for Colin Kaepernick.
Well, let's start with you. What's your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
I want Jared Goff, so I'm not interested in Kaepernick. But if
my
if
man, we were gonna Carlos,
that's obvious, right? I mean, if we were going to get Kaepernick, though, would you do swap the second pick for the eighth pick, and we get Kaepernick and their 37th pick, their second rounder, and then we will probably have to throw in like our third round pick this year too?
So you're saying, would I trade 2 for 7? So we would trade number 2. We would get Kaepernick number 7 and their second round pick?
Yes. And we probably have to add our third round pick this year. So like 65 or whatever it is. So they'd be picking like back to back in the third round. We'd be
could
picking...
I still get Jared Goff at number 7? Because if I could, then I would do it. But if I can't, then I don't think I would do it.
You even if you can't get Jared Goff at 7,
I don't
have.
I know.
But you'd have the 8th pick, 32 and 37. That's 3.
That's all good. But if I get the wrong quarterback, then I'm not that happy. Remember, the 49ers don't believe that he's a franchise quarterback. I'm not sure I believe that he's a franchise quarterback either. So I would want it. That's to me. That's where it comes down to. I want to get the guy that I believe in. If we did it, I still think we need to. We got to get that right. So I'm not convinced that Kaepernick is right, nor am I convinced that Kaepernick is right specifically in this system. 216-578-0050. Let's go to Frank in Collinwood. Frank, welcome.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I understand the need and desire for continuity with these NFL teams, but I'm wondering why people are really upset about Schwartz and Mac leaving, because we won 3 games last year, and we finished either 30th or 31st in rushing offense, and I was at 6 of the games at home, and I remember at least 2 games, the Ravens game and the Denver game, when we needed one more first down to win the game against Baltimore or to get in better field goal position in overtime against Denver, and we couldn't run the ball. So I'm not too worried about losing Mack or Schwartz.
And I think you make an interesting point. And if I've said all along, Mitchell Schwartz, I think a very good pass blocker. If there's one knock on his game, you want your right tackle to be that power tackle that you can run behind. And that's not what he is. He is a very good pass blocker, though, Mitchell Schwartz, for the position. Let's go to Dan in Pennsylvania.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I saw a quote from Elway today on the NFL Network. Did you guys see that about the Osweiler departure?
No. What'd he say? Oh, just that he wants guys that want to be there?
That's right. And, you know, when I heard about the Schwartz thing initially, I was a little disappointed because they actually offered him more money, right?
Yes. Before he went, the way that it's been said to me from various NFL insiders, again, this is not official confirmation from the team. I know nothing of the negotiations with Mitchell Schwartz. However, the way that it was said to me by people around the NFL, or maybe that it was relayed to them, and this could have been from the Schwartz side of things too, so take that for what it is that the Browns made an offer to Mitchell Schwartz that was higher than what he ended up signing for before the tampering period. So before he would have been able to go and actually get other offers and test things out. He said, no, right. I'm going to get significantly more in the open market. The Browns said, good luck, get that. He went out there, didn't find the market he wanted to, and at that point the Browns thought he was gone. They had moved on to they went through their plans as though he was not back. And when he came back and then said, oh, well, now I want your deal, they didn't want that. For whatever reason,
and
I don't know what happened.
Well, see to me, it's, again, I see this as a positive indication of our changing culture. You know, it's easy as a Browns fan to go, well, we've been such a loser for so long, we should be happy to have anybody that would want to be here, you know, but no. He said, I don't want to be here. Brock Osweiler really told them after they cared for him for 4 years and developed him, I'd rather walk and go to Houston. Well, all right, man, walk and go to Houston. And I think it's great. I mean, at some point you've got to draw a line in the sand and say this is the way we're conducting our business now. And at first it gave me a jolt too. It's like, wow, why are we doing that? But it makes sense, man. I mean,
it does.
I like that.
It does. Thank you. And that's a great take. And I think what we have to understand is this is Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, and Hugh Jackson's first opportunity to say this is how we are doing business.
Yes,
because they can't speak on something they had no control over, on what the last 15 years has been about, on the bad decisions that people have made spending money or letting people leave. It was their first statement to say this is how we're going to do business, take it or leave it, and we have to accept that.
And as I've said all along, I really feel that our approach to free agency and our approach to the draft and what we do in the next 6 months, which started yesterday, or 5 months, leading up to whoever makes up the 90-man roster that enters free, you know, enters into the season in training camp as the Cleveland Browns, is going to be similar from year to year to year under Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown's vision.
Again, and I'll ask people, is there anybody that left the Browns that you really think is the difference between the Browns and a Super Bowl? Was there anybody that was a blue-chip player that was like a had-to-have? Our team can't function without him. No. Mitchell Schwartz, at that price, I would have kept. I think it's a great deal for him, and I think he's a plus player. But the Browns didn't let any of these monster guys go.
And to your point,
they don't have any. That's the biggest problem.
You're right. And I asked you this question, and you gave me an immediate answer. And I go, why did Matt Forte, again, who plays the running back position, only get about $4 million a year? And your answer to me was,
he's 30.
He's 30 years old. Alex Mack, still at the top of his game. Matt Forte, probably still, you know, in his prime, but on his way out of his prime, which you could probably say the same about Alex Mack, right? But a running back got paid less money than Chris Ivory, who has a significantly less resume but is younger. So I think that as you look at what Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry and this regime and their approach to free agency is, they're not going to pay premium number one money for a guy that they don't feel is playing, that's going to be playing at that premium level for multiple years.
I totally agree, and I'll go back to it. Until this team drafts well, multiple drafts in a row, and gets blue chip talent, this team is going to be in the same spot. But what they can do in April is lay the foundation to start to get good. Get the quarterback, get some blue chip players around him, and start making moves here and build this thing the right way with a young team. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, final thoughts here on a very interesting, we appreciate the discourse today, certainly more positive overall than I expected, edition of CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD Final Tier. What's that, Gibbs?
We can take a call if you want.
Who do we got, Dan?
Carlton. Has still been waiting on hold.
Carlton, come on down.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
So I'm driving down to Cincinnati. I live in Cincinnati, been a Browns fan for a long time. And like you guys, I've watched them ruin quarterbacks and drafts time and time again. And I'm under the belief, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that a quarterback really needs to be in a situation where they can thrive and succeed. And I feel like the way the roster is set up right now, we don't really have that infrastructure in place with all the holes in the offensive line, lack of receivers. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on whether or not we should even take a quarterback at number two. And if a guy like Laremy Tunsil drops to us, a surefire blue-chip offensive lineman who could possibly be the heir apparent to Joe Thomas who could leave in a couple of years, and get those pieces in place and possibly take another quarterback, maybe if a Paxton Lynch drops or somebody else a little bit later on where they might be in a better position to succeed and develop, whereas I feel like a lot of these first-round picks we keep taking on quarterbacks, they're just put in a position to fail. And
If we have a quarterback that we like, take him. Laremy Tunsil can only hope to have the career of Joe Thomas. And Joe Thomas, as good as he's been, has not led to winning for the Cleveland Browns. Getting a quarterback can do that. So if there's a quarterback they like, I think you've got to get that quarterback. As we end today's show, Colin Kaepernick still has not found a new home. Not sure where it's going to be. They say Denver is the clear favorite at this moment, and that doesn't surprise me. That makes a lot more sense. Will it be the Browns? They're rumored to be into it. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense on one level, but Hugh Jackson has always liked Colin Kaepernick and might think this is his chance to do it with Kaepernick now at a much cheaper price than it would have been at any other point in his career. So that's where things stand right now with the Cleveland Browns. No signings. We know Max Schwartz, Gip, and Travis Benjamin are gone. That's what we know. Nobody in. But stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, the kids with us. We'll see what KD can produce tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be with Stay Tuned for the Golden Boys are up next. But for Jason Gibbs, got to thank Eric Edholm. And for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNO.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.